We're on the top of Daf Kuf Yud Omid Aleph, and we're up to Omar Lahu Abaye, which is five lines down from the top. The Gemara had told a story about a certain Jew who worked as an officer in the king's court in Pumpedisa, in Bavel. And he was bitten by a snake, and as they tried, they could not save him, and he died. And Abai suggests, Amalei Abai, perhaps Dilma Chivya Dirabanan Tarke. It was the snake of the rabbis that bit him. Dilesle Asuta, and there's no cure. So he was punished because he contradicted the rabbis. Dixiv, and the Pasuk tells us that Poretz Goder Yishchenu Nochash, if he breaches the fence which was set up by the Chachamim, then he'll be bitten by a snake. Omrule, and after Abaye gave this explanation, they confirmed it in Rebbe, my teacher, this is exactly what happened. Dechinoch Nafshe Derav, when the great Rav passed away, and the people were in a state of depression, Gaza Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna, Rav Yitzchak, who was the chief rabbi at that time, instituted a decree of mourning, of grief. Deleka leminte asa vegidme lebe hilua betavla. In those days, at a wedding celebration, it was common that they would bring out different kinds of hadassim, different things to smell as part of the simcha, and he forbid them to do such a thing, to dance with these palm branches and with these myrtles and with bells. The Azaliyu, and this particular Jew, he went ahead, he wasn't interested in this gzera, and he violated it. Amti Asa, he brought this myrtle, vigidme, and this palm branch, these palm branches, lebeilula, to the wedding, to get it together with gidme is bells, tarke chivra umes, and he was bitten by a snake, and he died. Now the Gemara is going to talk about snakes now, and you get the impression, and don't quote me on this because I'll deny I ever said it, but you get the impression that back at the time of the Gemara, the snakes had almost like a personality. In what sense? They had certain enemies, like they targeted a certain person, and once they got angry at this person, they would smell him out, so to speak, follow his footsteps, until they could attack this person. And the snakes at the time of the Gemara apparently were such personalities that very often they would, in quotation marks, fall in love with a woman and want to have a relationship with a woman. I mean, this we know from Chazal about the Nochash HaKadmoni, but we thought the snakes in our time have no particular personalities. We're going to also learn about snakes that, the best way to get rid of them would be to throw them into water. But hopefully they won't attack anyone else if a snake is after you and you somehow successfully get them into the water. They won't be dangerous for someone else. In one case, the Gemara is going to say, you got to get the snake and burn the snake, because otherwise the snake will be after you again and again. So first, the Gemara approaches the issue of how to remedy the following situation. A snake is surrounding you. So, Haiman de Karche Chivre, a person who is surrounded by a snake, Linchos Lemaya, he should go down into the water. Vilischov Dikula Aresha. He should be carrying a basket inverted over the head of the snake. The snake is obviously following him towards the water. Vilahadke Mine. And somehow he should push this basket away from him in a way that it's contiguous to him, and the hope is that when he lowers the basket into the water, now the basket is right next to him, the snake is on the other side, and the snake is somehow going to jump onto the basket. So he's trying to entice the snake to jump onto the basket. If he grabs the snake itself with his hands, that's going to be very, very dangerous. That'll get the snake even more angry. V'chisolik iluye, and hopefully the snake will climb up onto the basket, and then at that point you got to move really fast. Lishtei lamaya, he should throw the basket with the snake on top of it into the water, and then he's got to run away. V'lislok v'lese. And he should go out of the water and flee. And again, as I said before, the hope is that this snake will not attack anyone else. Haiman de mikni be chivya. A snake is angry at a person. In other words, he's targeting this person, and he's pursuing him. And it's almost like a human being, that if you pursue someone, you watch his footsteps, so that you can track him down and attack him. Iika chavri bade, if he's lucky enough to be with a companion, then lirkeve arba garmide. Garmide means piggyback. He should ask his friend to carry him. Him is the one who's being targeted, on his shoulders, four amos. And that's a long enough trek so that the snake will now be confused. He no longer knows to follow the footsteps of his singled out victim. However, Velo, if he's not lucky enough to have a friend, then how does he lose the snake, so to speak? You know, how does he avoid the footsteps? Lishvar Nigra. He should find, hopefully, some sort of pond of water, and he should jump over it. And then the snake will lose the tracks. He won't be able to follow the footsteps of his targeted victim. Now, there's another girsa in the Gemara, according to which it's not that he's jumping over a pond of water, but rather he is jumping four amos. And if he jumps four amos and there's no continuous footsteps, he'll be able to lose the snake. Velo. But let's say he's not such a great, Olympic jumper. Is Liaver Nahara. He should find a river and cross the river, hopefully at night, Belila. And once he crosses the river, then when he gets out on the other side, the snake no longer has footsteps to follow. Losvei lepuria arba chavita. Now, he's at nighttime, and he wants to see to it that this snake is done away with. Now we have to add another premise here in the biology of the Gemara, that the snake can be eaten up by a cat. Again, I assume it's a smaller version of a species of a snake, and the cats could eat the snake. So what he should do is, he should... Okay, so now we're talking about a situation where it's nighttime, the snake is after him, And even though maybe he lost the snake temporarily, you know, because the snake doesn't follow his tracks, you know, he jumped four amas, or his friend carried him, or he jumped over, he went to the other side of the river. But nevertheless, even though temporarily the snake is not after him because he's, you know, there's no footsteps, but nevertheless, he still wants to get rid of the snake, because he doesn't know if the snake will come back a second time and target him. So what should he do? At nighttime, he should set up a bed or a mattress out in the dark, under the stars, Bei Kochavi, under the stars. He should sleep under the stars. V'laisi arba shunri, he should gather together four cats. You may remember shunri from the Chagadah, right, the cats. So he's got four cats. Laisi arba shunri, v'lisrinu b'arba kare b'furye. So he should attach them to the four legs of his bed. In other words, he makes sure he has these four cats ready and waiting to pounce upon the snake. V'laisi shchafe v'lishde hasam. So he should bring certain types of branches so that when the snake comes towards them, the cats will be able to hear the noise of the snake as the snake travels through these twigs and through these branches. So it's going to make a sound, a rustle. Tuchishama kali, and now the cats hear the sound of the hissing of the snake. Achlile, they will consume the snake. Haiman deroyed abasre, if a person is being pursued by a snake, lirhit bechalta, he should run into a sandy area, because the snakes, and again, this is another biology of the snakes, at least back in the day of the Gemara. I don't know, today's snakes are a little bit more tricky, but in those days, the snakes didn't like to run through sandy terrain. Now, as I said at the outside, in order to understand the next piece of Gemara, we have to assume that the snakes of those days, at the time of the Talmud, were very I'm afraid to use the word sexual in nature, but they had a certain sexual desire, the snakes. I you know, even today, I think, you know, women are particularly afraid of snakes. I mean, we're all afraid of snakes, but so high isisa de chazia chivya. So the snake eyes a woman. V'lo yada, she's not sure. I yoiv daite luye, I lo yoiv daite luye. In other words, when she becomes aware of the fact that she's been seen by a snake, the snake put his eyes on her, then she has to try to figure out whether or not this snake is now sexually aroused and has targeted her, specifically her, to have an intimate relationship with her. And again, I refer back to the Nochash HaKadmoni, where Chazal say, Hitel Bazuama, that the snake had some sort of a sexual relationship with a woman. Again, I always thought that was the snakes of then, you know, that had feet, and they spoke, and they were wise, and Orami called Kolchai Saaretz, and so forth and so on. I didn't think at the time of the Gemara this was an issue, that the snakes were still of that kind of a nature, but I guess snake psychology changed gradually over the course of time since Gan Eden. And what she should do is to shalach money, she takes off her clothing, v'nishtei kamein, she throws it in front of the snake, and I michrach behu, if she sees that the snake gets all excited and wraps itself around her clothing, daitei luya, she'll realize that that this snake has, as we said before, has his eyes after her and wants to enter into her the private parts of her body. Ve'ilo, if the snake doesn't wind itself around her clothing, lo yoyev daite eluye, then he's not aroused by this woman. Maitakante, now what happens if she realizes the snake is after her for a sexual relationship? What's the remedy for this? What could she do to protect herself? Now here the Gemara offers two approaches, a controversy about this issue. According to the first approach, Tishamesh Kameh, she should have a relationship with her husband in front of the snake, and hopefully the snake will be turned off, so to speak. Ika Diamri, according to the second version, on the contrary, Kolshkein the Tokif Le Yitzre, if the snake sees that she has a relationship with a man, how much more so will he be aroused to want to have a relationship with her? Letishkol Mimazya Umitofra. Now the approach is going to be to somehow cause the snake to be repulsed by her. So she takes off some hair and some of her nails, Vitishti Bay, and she throws it at the snake. And apparently, when the snake sees these hairs and nails, it gets turned off, as we would say. Now, the next three words of the Gemara can only be understood in the light of what we discussed earlier in Masechta Shabbos about something called Lechashim. Lechashim are various enunciations that, or incantations is the fancy English word, which have some sort of almost magical power. And Vitema, she should express this incantation, quote, Dishtanana, which means I'm in the state of Nida. And that, again, she doesn't talk to the snake, but she makes this incantation, she recites it, and this is going to turn off the snake. Now, the next piece of Gemara is wild, but we'll just try to get by it. And now, we're dealing with a situation where a snake actually had a sexual relationship with a woman. Hi Issa di Ailbe Chivya. So the snake actually entered into her body. And now she's got to get the snake out. So Lifzia, first and foremost, she should widen her legs, which allows room for the snake to come out. And then we have to come along and haul this woman, Lisvua, and sit her down, Atarte Chavita, on two barrels. This very much reminds me of a Gemara in Ksubis, where a man, after having a relationship with his wife the first time, he claims that she wasn't a basula. So the Gemara has a whole procedure there with sitting a woman on barrels and so forth. Anyway, so now her legs are spread over two barrels, where she's sitting on two barrels. Velese bisra shmena. Now we're trying to get the snake out of her body. So we're going to try to create a certain aroma, a smell that's going to entice the snake to want to jump out of her body. So what do we do? Lishte agumre. Lese bisra shmena. We should take fatty meat and throw it on burning coals, and that's going to create a smell. And Lysi Agona de Tachle will also bring something called Tachle, which in English is called cress, Vechamere Chanosa, and fragrant wine, Velosru Hossam, and we place it there on the ground near where she's sitting. And Litrukinu Bahadi Hadodi, and we mix the wine and the cress together, Velinko Tzvasa Biyoda. She holds a pair of tongs so that as soon as the snake come out, she can grab the snake. The chimerchak recha, when the snake smells this wonderful aroma, nafik, it goes out, v'osi, and lishkol v'likle binura. After she grabs the snake with the tongs, then she's got to burn the snake in the fire. To Elo, if she doesn't do so, Hadar Eloya. The snake is in love with her and is going to come back again and again. So she's got to make sure that she burns the snake. Okay. So Ad Kan, we can make a siyum on snakes. And now we get back to medical issues and about refu on Shabbos and what kind of foods and drinks you're allowed to partake of for therapeutic purposes. And again, the rule is kala ochlim, any foods that, although you take it for healing purposes, or any drinks, beverages, but other people who are healthy people would also eat or drink those foods or beverages. And the Mishnah says, kol ha'ochlim. Now, whenever we see a principle that is a general rule with the word kol, then kol ha'ochlim la'suyeimai, it's coming to include something. And the Gemara is going to give two examples of something that you eat for a remedy for X, but it, at the same time, it has side effects, and it's going to have a negative Y. So that you want to take it because you need it for X, it's a therapeutic for X, but normally you would say that a healthy person would not partake of that because it has a side effect which is hazardous, which is Y, we'll call it Y. So the kol is a ribu, it's coming to include lasuye tchol, the spleen. So he shechted an animal, he takes out the spleen and he roasts it, so he's got roast spleen, and that's very healthy l'shinayim, for the teeth. So it's a cure for teeth, but as we'll soon see, it also has a side effect which is negative. Or karshinin, which is some sort of a vegetable. In English, it's called a vetch, V-E-T-C-H, and lipnei me'ayin. And it's something that is beneficial for the intestines, meaning it's going to be something that helps clean out the system if you have some sort of contamination in your intestines. Now, keep in mind that although the spleen is beneficial for the teeth, it's bad for the intestines. The vetch is good for the intestines, but it's harmful for the teeth. And the Mishnah is coming to teach us that despite the fact that there is a harmful side effect of these two types of foods, but nevertheless, you would have thought that for sure it's obvious that he's taking it for the medicinal purposes. Nevertheless, the Mishnah teaches us that you're allowed to eat these foods because occasionally healthy people will partake of these foods. Now that's solid foods. What about kol ha'mashkin? The Mishnah has also a klal of all beverages. What's the kol ha'mashkin lasuye mai coming to include? Lasuye meit slofim bechometz. Now we're talking about a plant that's called a tzlaf plant. And you may recall when we learned Ketzer Mevarchim, there was a whole discussion about the tzlaf. And it has berries, and it has leaves, it has different parts of the tzlaf, which bracha you make on each part. And he takes this tzlaf, in English it's called a caper bush, and he soaks it in vinegar. Now, this kind of concoction is used occasionally by healthy people, and it relieves toothaches. And the Mishnah is telling me that you're allowed to drink this concoction for your toothache because occasionally healthy people will also drink this concoction of capers soaked in vinegar. Amalei Ravina L'Rava Mal Lishtos Meira Glayim B'Shabbos. You may recall from yesterday's daf that on certain health hazards, there's a therapy to take urine, to drink urine. We said it was urine that was 40 days old, and you remember what we discussed yesterday. So what happens if a person is going to drink urine? Now, it's very hard to believe that a healthy person would ever drink urine. Tanina, and therefore we quote a braisa, and says Kol Amashkim Shosu Meraglayim Lo Shosi Inshi, that any beverage that's a beverage is something that people normally drink, but Meraglayim Lo Shosu Inshi, people don't drink urine. So it's obvious, therefore, that he's taking urine for a therapeutic method, and therefore it's prohibited on Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah itself has an exception to the beverage rule, and it specifies a certain beverage that should not be permitted on Shabbos, chutz mi mei dekolim, the water of palm trees. Now, the Gemara is going to tell us that there's something called mei dekolim, and there's something called mei dekarim. Tana, we learned in a braisa, chutz mi mei dekarim. Now, the word doker means to pierce. So when you have some sort of malady and you want to pierce and break apart the malady, that's called dekarim. And there's something called mei dekarim. Man tana mei dekarim, and the phrase mei dekarim, which refers to some water, we'll see what kind of water it is in its original form, it pierced an overabundance of gall, right? A person has a mara, mem, resh, hay, in his body, and it's something that you can live without, but the gallbladder produces gall, and if it's not functioning properly, then it produces too much gall. And mei dekarim, in its original name, was called such because shem dokrim es hamara, that they pierce this surplus of gall in order to to make that person healthy again. Mei dekolim, but according to one text in the Mishnah and in the Raisa, it's mei dekolim sheyotzim. Now, where do you get mei dekolim from? The water of palm trees sheyotzim min shnei diklei. That there are certain two trees, and in between these two trees, these palm trees, you'll find water. What kind of water? My maid to call him. What is this water of palm trees? Amar Rabba Bar Bruna. And they knew in those days that in Eretz Yisrael there were Tarte Tloy. There were two palm branches that belonged to a very specific, unique species of palm branches. They were called Tloy. And there were two of them, Ikob and Marava, in the west, meaning in Eretz Yisrael. And you found a spring of water between these two palm trees. Menafka eina demaya mi beinayu. So the spring produced water. And if you take this water, it has it has a very therapeutic element to it because of someone who's never constipated and he can't move his bowels. And kisa kama marape. Once he drinks a cup of this very unique water, it looses the feces that's in his body. And idoch mishalshel, when he drinks the next cup of this water, it completely takes out all the feces in his bowels completely. And Edoch, if he drinks a third cup, ki hechi di ayal hachinofik, he'll see water that comes out of his body. Meaning, he knows that these made to call him were diuretic, and they did exactly what was necessary. They cleaned out the bowels. Omar Ula, ledidi shasi shikra debavloi. I have a different method. If I have a problem with constipation, then I drink Babylonian beer. Uma aliminayu. It's even more effective than the water that flows from this spring between those two palm trees, which are called Taloi. Vehu delo rogil be'arboim yomi. But I have to make sure that I haven't drunk beer, or at least that type of beer from Babylonia, for the last 40 days. So now the beer has a very powerful impact, and it will be able to clean out the system. Rav Yosef Omar, he suggests a different kind of a method in the case of constipation. which is called Zisom HaMitzri. So it's called Zisom, and it comes from Egypt. And once again, it's a type of beer. And according to Rav Yosef, it has three ingredients to it. Tilsa, one-third, is sari, is made of barley. We know that beer is made from barley. Tilsa, another third, is kurtame. Kurtame is, in English, it's called saffron. Vitilsa milk, and a third of salt. And this concoction is called Zesim HaMitzri, and it's an alternative method of cleaning out the system. Rav Papa Omar, he had a different version of what you put into this Zesim HaMitzri. A third, Tilsa Chiti, was not tziorim, but rather wheat. Tilsa Kumti, the other third was saffron, kurtami. And tilsa milcha, and it was third of salt. So he just substitutes the wheat for the barley. V'simonech, and if you want to remember it, then sisani. So that sisani has to do with the samach of Yosef, and the samach of Sioran, even though Sioran is with a sin, but it's like a samach. Anyway, now, this remedy of drinking these types of beer, shasilu, Bain divcha latzarta, de kamit merapile, vidarfe kamitle. Now, it's very interesting that you could have a substance which has an impact in two different directions. They're opposite directions. You would have thought they're mutually exclusive, but apparently that's not so. And if he drinks it between Pesach and Shavuos, apparently the Gemara thinks that this is effective during that period of time. And if he's constipated, it will cause a diuretic result. But if he's too diuretic, then it hardens the stomach in such a way that he's no longer suffering from diarrhea. Now the Mishnah spoke about a kos ikrin, my kos ikrin. What's a kos ikrin? Literally translated, a potion of sterility. Amar Rebbe Yochanan, Lysi Maskil Zuze Komach Alexandria. He says the following: if you want to create this kind of potion, so you should bring a certain weight of Alexandrian gum. And I assume that this gum is a sap that comes from the trees of Alexandria, and it should be a zuz weight. Umaskil zuza gavya gila. And then he takes something called a alum, A-L-U-M, and he's got another zuz weight of alum. Umaskil zuza kumkara rishka. He takes a zuz weight of garden saffron. Grind them all together. Now, what is the purpose of taking this potion? So, Lizava, if a woman has a certain abnormal flow of blood coming out of her womb, then Tlasa Bechamra, you got to add another element into the concoction, and that's chamra. Chamra means wine. So tlasa means the three ingredients that we mentioned before, right? The gum and the alum and the saffron, and now we add wine into the equation. Velomi akra, and it's going to help her resolve the problem of this unusual flow of blood. But at the same time, it will not make her sterile. And wine is going to offset the impact of the other ingredients. Lirakona, but let's talk about a different person who's suffering from green, which means jaundice in the Gemara. Train bishikra. You should add not only wine, but train another element, and that's shechar. However, we have to understand that this is very, very dangerous. So it's great for jaundice, but mi'aker, it will cause sterility. And We call it therefore Kos Ikrin. So that on the one hand, the Kos Ikrin is very, very powerful for someone who's suffering from jaundice, which is a dangerous disease, a blood disease. But on the other hand, it has a very bad repercussion. Now, if a person already has children and he's older, so he doesn't have to worry so much about this. And this touches on the whole issue. A person is not allowed to make himself sterile, and that's a lav d'oraisa, but in this case, he's not violating the lav deliberately. It's a byproduct of the fact that he's taking this as a therapeutic method for jaundice. Lizava, tlasa bechamra velomi akra. We said in the Braisa that she should take these three ingredients and mix it with wine if she has an abnormal flow of blood, and it would not make her sterile. Ve'ilo, if she doesn't have that concoction, you know, she doesn't have the alum or the saffron or the gum, is lysi tlosa. Now turning to Daf Kuf Amud Beis, kapizi shamchi parsoi. Now let's see what we could do with this. Parsoi means Persian. You know, until now we were talking about Alexandria in Egypt. Now we're talking about Persia. Now kapize is a volume. We once discussed in Perkabona that he took a piece of wood and he dug out from a kapiza, which could hold three lugim. You remember that when we talked about Balacham is Kayemis. Anyway, now we have something called Shimchi. Shimchi are onions. So we got Persian onions. They're very large onions. And he's got a vessel that holds three lugim, Vinishlok Bechamra. And he boils these onions that fit into that fill a utensil that has three lugim, and he boils them with wine, vinishke, and let this zava drink this concoction, vinemale, and we also have to have some sort of an incantation, kum mizovech, nay, you should stop your flow. So that's a remedy for a zava who has this abnormal flow. The ilo, if that doesn't present itself as a possibility, you know, you just can't get Persian onions, they're not importing Persian onions. So losve a parsha drachim, put it down at the crossroads, a parsha drachim, velinkita kosa dechamer biyod, let her take a cup of wine in her hand, velase inish meachore, someone should come up behind her, velivasa, and he should frighten her, velemala, and he can recite this incantation, kum mizovech, stop your flow. If he doesn't, there's no alternative remedy, then lise buna de chamona. Chamona is cumin, and we bring a fistful of cumin, uvuna de morica, and a fistful of saffron, ubuna de shav. Lelisa, a fistful of fenugreek, well, I think that's one of the simona we use at the Seder on Rosh Hashanah. Anyway, nishlok b'chamra, you should boil them with wine, v'nashke, give it to the zava to drink, v'nemele, and again, kum mizovech. Ilo, if you don't have that remedy, lise shitin shie d'dona, we should bring 60 seals of a barrel. Now, they used to seal a barrel with clay, v'lishpe, and smear some of this clay on her. Okay, now this clay is soaked in water, and then lemele, we should say kum mizovech. Ilo, if not that, lacy pashtina. Okay, we don't know exactly what pashtina is. He says it's an herb that grows upward, spreads over the ground, and lishkol be lishlok be chamri, boil it in wine, lishpe, smear it on her, namele kum mizove. Ilo, if you don't have that, lese charnuga de higza romisa. He should bring a charnuga of a romisa bush. What's a charnuga? Go figure that out. It's another type of an herb that grows near thorn bushes. And the Gemara had an absolute, incredible understanding of not only plant biology. I mean, for that you have to learn Zeroyim to appreciate that, which is not part of the Daf Yomi. Anyway, the Gemara also understood each plant not only in its makeup but also in its medicinal content. Anyway, we have now a Romiza bush. Okay, Velikli, and somehow he roasts this combination together. Velispa b'shachaki dekista b'kaita. All right, he takes the ashes after he burns this all together, and he puts it in linen rags during the summer months. U'b'shachei damar gufnei b'sifsa, or cotton rags during the winter. And Elo, if he doesn't have that, Lichre Sheva Bire, they dig seven holes. Likle Bahu Shabishta Yalda the Orla, he burns a branch of a young Orla vine in each one of these different holes. Vilinke Kasa the Chamra Vyoda, she takes a cup of wine in her hands. Lukveveha, she stands up from one hole, Velosveha, as she sits down. In another hole, Velukme Miha, she gets up, goes to another hole, Losve Miha, from one hole to the other. Viachol Chada Vachada, each time she stands up, Lemola, somebody should say to her, Kumi Zovech. Vilo, and if she doesn't have that remedy, Lise Samida, bring fine flour, Velisva, what does it say here? I'm sorry, Veliska Mipalga de Tatoi, smear it on the lower half of her body, v'lemalei kumizovah. And v'lo, if that doesn't work, is leise biasa dinamisa, bring an ostrich egg, v'likli, and burn it, v'lisba b'shachakai d'kisona b'tkaita, and take the ashes in linen rags during the summer, shachakai d'amar, or cotton rags, gufna b'sitfa, in the wintertime. V'lo, liftach, La chavita de chamra lishma. We open up a new barrel of wine for her sake, and she should drink large amounts of wine on a regular basis. Vilo, if that doesn't work, then linkit saarta. We take a saora, which is a barley grain. Dimishtachas bekfuta. The kudna, which is found in the dung of a white mule. Okay, I don't know how you find such a grain, but this reminds me of the Gemara about the Churban Abayis, that she was so poor she looked for a piece of barley in the dung of a mule. V'i nokta chad yoma, she holds it for one day. Now, I'm not sure what it means that she holds it. Does she actually have to hold it in her hand? That's what Rashi seems to say. Is psaka treyomi? And the flow will stop for 2 days. V'nokta treyomi, if she holds it for 2 days, paska tlosa yomi, the flow will stop for 3 days. V'nokta tlosa yomi, if she holds it for 3 days, paska liolam, the flow will stop forever. Liakona, what's the remedy for jaundice? Train b'shikro miaker, all the ingredients of the sap, the alum and the saffron mixed with beer, and miaker will make the patient sterile. V'lo, you want an alternative method. Lise resha de shibuta de milcha. Okay, shibuta is a certain kind of a fish, a very special fish. They used to prepare this fish for Shabbos. It was a special fish. And take the head of this fish, you salt it. V'lishlok b'shikra, boil it in beer, v'lishte, and drink the potion. Elo, if that doesn't work for jaundice, lise monine de kamtse, bring a juice of locusts. V'leka monine de kamtsi, if there's no juice of locusts available, lise monine de nikire, he brings the juice of nikire. Again, what nikire is, some sort of a bird. V'li aile lebe bunny, we take this patient who's suffering from jaundice into a bathhouse. V'lishpe, and we smear this juice on him. I don't know, he's probably very contagious. I don't know, maybe he's not contagious. V'leka bay bunny, if there's no bathhouse, lukme bain tanura leguda, you stand him up between an oven and a wall, smear the juice on him. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, a rotza shiyachamimenu, he wants to warm up the patient. So we're not sure what he means here. Maybe he's trying to make sure that he starts perspiring. He kanchenu bistino, he should wrap him up in a sheet. And it's the patient's sheet or somebody else's sheet who's suffering from jaundice. And he's going to sweat, and hopefully that will be a therapeutic message. Rav Acha bar Yosef Choshbe, Rav Acha bar Yosef suffered from jaundice. Ovad Le, Rav Kahana performed the treatment that we mentioned above. And he wrapped himself in a sheet, or he wrapped him in a sheet. V'itzeh, and he was cured. Ilo, another alternative remedy is Lysay Tlosak Pitzay Tamri Parsoya. We spoke about Persian dates, and he brings three kafizi worth, right? We said a kafizi is three lugim, and of dates, utlosa kafizi, dekira dinish terufe. Okay, three kafizis worth of wax that had dripped from an overflowing honeycomb. Utlosa kafizi, and again, three kafizis worth of ahola, which is aloe, A-L-O-E, tolona, red. So he's got red aloe, vilishkolino v'shikra, boils them in beer, vilishte, and he drinks this potion. And this is going to be another possible remedy for jaundice. Ilo, if that doesn't work, leisei ilo bar chamora, he should bring the excrements of a donkey. V'liglach mitziasa deresha, shave the middle of the patient's head. V'lishpik lei doma me'apose, and draw blood from the forehead. V'losvinu areshe, and put the blood on the shaved. Oh, so he takes the blood from the donkey, I think, if I'm reading this correctly, and he puts it on the head of the shaved part of the patient's head. He has to be careful that it doesn't go into his eye because it could blind him. If that remedy is not available, then leisei resha de barcha, he should take the head of a ram, de manach bekivsha, that's been pickled, kavush, is pickling, velishlok v'shikra, boil it in beer, velishte, and he should drink this concoction. Vilo, another option is Lysi Dovracher Chutrona. Okay, he should bring a speckled pig, if I'm not mistaken. Velikre, and he should tear it open. Velosve Alibe, and he put it on his heart. Ilo, if that doesn't available. Lysi Karte, he should bring leeks, that's called Karte, is leeks. Mikav Tusa de Meshre. Okay, so apparently these leeks grow in rows. So he takes a leek from the middle of the row, those are the sharpest leeks, and he eats the leek. Okay, Hahutai. Now the Gemara tells us a story about an Arab. De Chashbe, he suffered from jaundice. He tells a gardener, take my cloak. And Vahavli Mishra Dekarti, and give me a row of leeks. Yavli, so the gardener gave him a row of leeks, Viachol, and he ate it. Amale, the Arab said to the gardener, Ushlan Glimech, lend me your cloak. The igne bay kali, I'll sleep in it for a short while. Ichrich gina bay, he wrapped himself in the cloak, slept in it. And kar ichmam v'kam, when he became hot and he woke up, nafil purta purtamine, the cloak fell away from him in small pieces. Okay, I have a note here. He says, bit by bit, the burning effect of the disease emerged with his perspiration, and even destroyed the cloak. I guess he had to pay him for the cloak. Li'erokna, for jaundice, train v'shikro mi'aker, he should have two out of the three ingredients with beer. And until now we said he needs the three ingredients, the sap, the alum, and the saffron. But now we're saying two out of the three plus mix with beer, and it will miyaker, will make him sterile. The Gemara asks, umishari, is it permissible to drink something that'll cause sterility? Vatanya, we have a brisa that says, minayin l'sirus b'adam shu asur. Where's the lav in the Torah to cause someone to be sterile? Otherwise known in English as castration. Talmud Lomar, the Torah says, ubi artzachem lo tasu. So this is a pasuk in Vayikra Perchav Beis. It says umoch v'kosuf v'nosuf v'kosuf. These are different kinds of animals that a posulim is beach because they have a mum, and one of them is a castrated animal. So such an animal is posul is zevach for a korban. And then the Torah says uba'atzchem lo tasu. And in your land you shall not do this. So since the Torah opens up with a castrated animal that's posul mizbeach, and then it says that in your lands you shouldn't do it, so we derive from this the conclusion that we're not allowed to castrate a human being, bachem lo tas, and that becomes a violation of the law of Divrei Rab Chanina. That's the statement of Rab Chanina. So now we're back to big trouble here, because we gave a potion to a jaundice patient, and he's going to become sterile as a result of it. So how can we do this, a violation of a law? So Gemara says, if you do an action to destroy or damage your reproductive organs, that's a violation of the law. But hocha, here he's taking a potion, and me'atzmahu, as a result of the potion, it's going to have an indirect effect of on the organ or on his ability to reproduce. And that's called the davar she'eno miskave. And the big question here is that even Rav Shimon, who holds that davar she'eno miskave is mutter, but moder Rav Shimon p'sik reisha. So if we know up front that inevitably, as a result of drinking this portion, he's going to become sterile, then he violates this law. So the question is, how do we understand this Gemara that me'atzmohu? So again, even though his goal is to heal the jaundice, we have no intention of castrating himself. Nevertheless, it should be forbidden under the law of psik reisha that we know this is going to happen. So that's the issue here that is addressed by Rishonim and by Achronim. Now, what the only possibility here that I think of to solve this problem is the Shitas HaOruch. The Oruch says that Rav Shimon concedes that in Psik Reisha, even a Dovr Shenim Miskaven is Asur, but only if it's Nichole. Only if he gets some benefit from it. But here, obviously the sterility is not a benefit. So the question is, can we apply the principle of the Aruch here? Well, to be absolutely honest with you, I don't think the Aruch is going to help us here, because we're not talking about Meleches Machsheves. With regard to Melachos on Shabbos, you need Machsheves, which means some sort of benefit that you get from the Melacha. But here we're talking about a separate law that's not related to Shabbos and is not governed by the principle of Meleches Machsheves, and therefore Lo Nichole is not going to be a factor here. This Iser of taking a potion of sterility is applicable even during the week. It's not a uniquely Shabbos Iser. We're not talking about a Malach on Shabbos. Okay. So this is an outstanding issue. Now, what could be possible here is that what the Gemara is saying, that Hachamei Atzmahu, that there's a built-in condition to violating this Isur of castration, and that is that he does it directly. That's the entire nature of the Isur. We're not entering into the machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon at all about Dovr Sheni Miskame. Forget it. Even Rabbi Yehuda could agree that the Torah does not prohibit castration if it's indirect, because this Isur only applies when it's direct. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Harotze Shi Yisareis Tarnagol, he wants to castrate a rooster, Yitol Kar Boloso, he removes the crest, Umistaris Me'elov, and it becomes castrated on its own. That means that a rooster, once it's deprived of its crest, it's incapable of copulating. So again, even though at the end of the day, the result of taking off the crest is that the tarnagol is castrated, but that's not a violation of the law because he didn't do it directly. So the Gemara asks, Va'omar Rav Ashi remus rucha hu dinikita le. That's a different case. A rooster has a certain arrogance because of its crest, and once you remove the source of its pride, it is in a state of depression and it grieves over the loss and it refrains from copulation, but it's not actually castrated. So therefore, the Gemara has no basis for the premise that indirect castration is permitted. And therefore, back to our question about the fact that with this potion for a jaundice, he will become sterile. Ella, the Gemara answers, Bisaris. The only time that we're going to allow a person to take this potion to solve his jaundice is if he's already castrated. So therefore, there's no Isur castration. The Gemara rejects this as well. V'amar Rab Chiya bar Abba Rab Yochanan. And here we'll take a look at Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. HaKol Modim B'machametz Achar Machametz Shu Chayov. So Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we'll talk about Machametz Achar Machametz, but basically what the Gemara is going to argue, that even if somebody is already castrated, Nebuch, he's still not allowed to take this potion that's called Mesaris Achar Mesaris, and he's Chayev. In other words, any action that in and of itself would cause castration is prohibited. So that's going to be our subject in Mirtz Hashem for tomorrow. Okay, Rabbosai, we'll stop here on the top of Kuf Yud Aleph Omid Aleph.